Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Power Cat Podcast, GoPowerCat.com's Kansas State Athletics Show. Make sure you're subscribing to our show at Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, from the GPC studios, here's your host, Go Power Cat publisher, Tim Fitzgerald.
It has been a hectic number of hours since Jerome Tang was officially announced on Monday as Kansas State's new head coach. And us at Go Power Cat, and all of us at GoPowerCat.com have been trying to reach out to people and get a better feel for who this guy is. You probably know his story at this point. He's a first-generation American born in the Caribbean and now a U.S. citizen. Moved to Houston around age 9, got the job at Baylor after a successful gig as a high school basketball coach at a Christian school in Texas. It's a remarkable story, actually. He didn't have a college degree when he joined Scott Drew at Baylor, and there was some controversy about that. But he's earned that, and he's earned his stripes as a basketball coach. He spent 19 years from the very start of Scott Drew's time in rebuilding the Baylor basketball program at Drew's side, eventually becoming associate head coach. And in part of that collection of information about Jerome Tang, we've reached out to a former player. You can find that Q&A for our subscribers with Tweety Carter at GoPowerCat.com. And we also reached out to King McClure, a former Baylor basketball player, who you probably now know as an ESPN college basketball analyst. I ran into King late this basketball season at K-State when he was getting ready to call the K-State-Iowa State game in Bramlage Coliseum, and I just chatted with him briefly, not realizing that I would need his number pretty soon to talk to him about Jerome Tang. But here's what's interesting. When Bruce Weber resigned on Thursday during the Big 12 tournament, I appeared on Sirius XM's Big 12 this morning, Channel 375. Ari Temkin hosts a great show, and his usual sidekick is Dave Archer. I do the show often. I love doing it. I have a lot of fun with them. Ari's just a great guy, even though he's from KU. But on this day, on the day Bruce Weber resigned, King McClure was the third wheel on that show, and so he was part of that conversation. And as everything developed with collecting information about Jerome Tang and finding out that he indeed was going to be Kansas State's head coach, I thought, man, King McClure is the perfect guy to talk to. And I reached out to Ari, got the connection made, and King was very generous with his time on Tuesday morning as he drove somewhere in Texas and spoke to me for all of you. Here is my conversation with King McClure, former Baylor basketball player, only about 4 years ago. That's how far King has come so quickly in his broadcasting career. And King had some wonderful things to say about Jerome Tang. I hope you enjoy this conversation as it's part of our PowerCat Sources podcast. And now we bring in King McClure, former Baylor player, current ESPN analyst, and does a little work on Sirius XM. King, this was a really cool hire by Kansas State because Jerome Tang's a guy that just hasn't had his chance to do his own thing, and now his own thing is in Manhattan, Kansas. How happy are you for your former associate head coach?
Man, I'm extremely happy just to see how hard that man has worked, to see his success that he's had, and to see him finally get his chance and his opportunity to shine and to be a head coach. I'm extremely happy. I mean, that's like a family member, honestly. It's like my second father. The man started recruiting me when I was 14 years old. We built a relationship. So I've known him for like 10 plus years. And to this day, I can call him and talk about anything I need to talk to him about. He's always going to pick up the phone. So I'm extremely happy to see, you know, his level of success. And I know he's going to be a great asset to the Kansas State program.
Well, over those 10 years, I bet you your best stories about Jerome Tang aren't on the basketball court, but that's just a guess. Give me something good about Coach Tang that really just sticks with you.
Coach Tang thinks he's a chef. Ha! So he thinks he can cook, and he'll tell you, he'll brag about his cooking. So he'll always invite us over, and he'll either barbecue, he'll grill, or he'll make this banana foster. I've never had it before, so I went over to his crib. And it's like you have ice cream, and then you put this kind of like sauce that he makes, and you put like whiskey or bourbon in the sauce.
Yep.
And the sauce actually like really good. And that was the one time he was like, yeah, I told you I can cook. And he's always competitive. Like, that's just how he is. Because I told him, I was like, but you can't cook. And then he's like, all right, come over. And I came over. He did that. He's like, yeah, see? Like, and he always trying to, like, get into it that way. I mean, we have that story. There's so many times we've been in the gym, and he always tries to walk in the gym and be like, I'm the best shooter in the gym, and we'll try to have a shooting competition. And the man has never – no, he don't pay me. We played me one time, and he happened to win. And he talked trash for at least – a month. Every single day it will be something like, yeah, you can't even outshoot me. I mean, one time I was in practice, and I did something. I guess I wasn't, I had a bad practice. And Coach Tang yells, hey, King, I'm going to go ahead and get your suit and tie ready, because you're going to be sitting up on the bench with me. And I was like, dang, Coach. let's see what else, man. I have so many stories. I remember one time I walk into the gym. This is like an hour before practice. Coach Tang is in there, and my shoes weren't tied, and I was walking to the gym to get some extra shots. And he looked at me and was like, "You're not ready to practice. You're not ready to have a good day today. You know what? Go back in the locker room. You're not ready to come out here yet." And I was like, "Coach, it's an hour before practice. What are you talking about?" and then, like recently, like 3 weeks ago, I was out there at Baylor working out with the team, just practicing and going up and down with the team. Because they were injured, so they needed extra bodies for the scout team. And this man had the audacity to get mad at me because I wouldn't lock and trail off a ball screen. I mean, off of a pin down, two pin downs. And I said, "Coach, I'm way too old and out of shape to be locking and trailing and chasing off of a pin down." And he was like, "Oh, you don't want to play?" And I was like, "Sir, calm down. I do not play for you anymore, Coach." Like, no, this is not that, Coach. But that's how competitive he is. And that's just how he is. I mean, every single time it would be Coach Drew. We always scrimmage to be Coach Drew. And then Coach Tang would take a team. And Coach Tang would be so fired up to play against the other team. And he would always be looking forward to, oh, my goodness, I forgot this story. Coach Tang one time made us do the most unrealistic, like, conditioning drill. So it was called a ladder. So you have to run down, just run one time down the court in, like, 6 seconds. Then you have to go three times, like, down the court in, like, 17 seconds, right? But he would increase, but the times would be so unrealistic that it was like, "Coach, there's no way we're making those." So like, it was times that we got to like 7 or 9, and dudes were real live trying to dive to make the time because we were not making a time. Like dudes were like sliding like they were going to first base to make the time. And like dudes were finna pass. So I have a heart disease. I felt like I was about to faint. Like dudes were passing out. Like Ishmael Wainwright, who's on the Suns right now, like, he almost passed out. Jake was like, "Bro, I can't breathe." Because we were literally sprinting. And come to find out, Coach Tang was like, "You know what? I knew we couldn't make the time. It was just a mental thing to see if y'all were gonna give up or not." It was like, "Coach, don't talk to us no more. Like, leave us alone. I don't want to talk to you for another, like, 2 days after that."
Dude, that's awesome. That is awesome.
But I mean, that's the type of coach he is. He gets the most out of you. He loves you. Like, at the end of the day, like, me and him got into it so many times on the court. But afterwards, you know, he's like, "Hey, I know we got into it, but at the end of the day, it's nothing personal. I want the best for you, and I love you. And, you know, it's all love afterwards. So he's hard. He's a hard coach. Because, you know, Coach Drew is not – he's not your typical, like, super hard coach. I mean, he's a positive guy. He's not going to yell too much. He's not soft by any means. So I'm not saying Coach Drew is that, but he's just not that typical, like, you know, Bob Huggins going to get after you, going to yell at you, going to do all that type of thing. That's not his style. So you have to have somebody on your staff like that, and Coach Tang is that. Coach Tang is going to get on your nerves. He's going to talk crazy to you. But I guarantee you he's going to make you play harder. And one more story. I remember one time in my freshman year, we was in OU, and we were playing against Buddy Hill. And we were down by 20 and a half. And Coach Drew put me in the game because the subs was winning the game. And I started making shots. And, like, before you know it, like, I have, like, 17, 18. I'm hot. And I'm hooping. And we took the lead with, like, 2 minutes to go. So I look at the bench. And I'm like, Coach Tang, I need a sub. Coach Tang looks at me and says, boy, no the hell you don't. You better stay out there and go play. So you better stay out there and go play. But what are you asking for a sub? What's wrong with you? And he got mad at me because I asked for a sub. He looked at me and said, you better not ever do that again. You better not ever ask for no sub when you're playing as well. He said, well, get your ass back out there and play.
Oh, I love it.
And I was like, dang, Coach, I'm just tired. Like, you always trying to sub me out every other time. But, I mean, I those are just perfect examples of Coach Tang being Coach Tang. He's going to get the most out of his players. I mean, I'm extremely happy for him.
Well, you inadvertently told a great story about how Scott Drew and Jerome Tang work so well together, side by side. Yeah. I mean, in reading about how they connected at the start of Coach Drew's time at Baylor, it's incredible. It really feels like the Lord was working there, doesn't it?
Nah, yeah, for sure. I mean, those two guys, man, they're incredible, man. I can't even say enough about those two guys. Everything that they say, everything that they talk about in the media, I'm proof that, like, they're not lying. They're not just saying something that, you know, a lot of times people talk about God, people talk about their religion, people talk about all these different things, the positivity, just to try to give out a certain narrative to the media and to the world. Right. And behind closed doors, they're not really like that. They're not really about that life that they're you know, confessing. And those two guys are actually about it, like, every single time. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have prayed with Coach Tang and Coach Drew when things got hard in my life. My dad had a stroke. Both of those two men were calling me, blowing up my phone. Coach Tang, matter of fact, this is probably the biggest story that shows you the type of man Coach Tang is. Coach Tang literally called me almost every single day when he found out my dad had a stroke and was like, hey, King, how can I help you? Like, how can we help you? Like, do I need to come out there right now? Because I live like an hour away from Baylor. He said, do I need to come out there right now? Do you need to come out here and stay with me for a few days? Like, what do I need to do in order to help you? Same thing with Coach Drew. And those two guys, like, you're right. I was literally God, man, putting two guys like that side by side. And not even let alone, like, the assistants with Coach Jagus and Coach Brooks, too. I mean, that coaching core was special. I mean, I don't know if you can find a better four guys to lead a team in the country.
That's amazing.
Those guys, and it's not what they do on the court. Like, on the court, everybody knows how good they are and how special they are when it comes to coaching and X's and O's. But I'm talking about off the court, man. Like, those guys will go to bat for you. Like, they constantly telling me, like, even now, like, hey, King, I love you. Like, I miss you. Like, I wish you were still here. And it's genuine, you know? Anytime I'm down there, I'm sitting in everybody's office for at least, like, an hour. Like, and sometimes I don't even go up to their offices because I know I'm going to be in there for, like, an hour apiece. Like, sitting in each of their offices. And just the conversations that I've been able to have recently with Coach Tang. I mean, he was actually out here 4 weeks ago recruiting. And he called me and said, hey, King, I'm going to be out there in Dallas. Let's go eat, and then let's go watch this kid. Come watch this kid with me. So I literally spent the whole day eating with him and Coach Jagus. Went to go recruit and watch this kid with him. And, like, we just talked and had, like, great conversation. Oh, man, it was, those guys are incredible. I can't say enough about those guys.
GoPowerCat.com's PowerCat podcast continues after this short break.
Yeah. Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to the Power Cat Podcast. Now, let's return to the GPC studios.
Well, so here's a hard question. Going from a private Baptist institution to a public school, how do you think he has to handle the religion aspect of what he does?
The one thing that I know about Coach Tang is he's not going to change who he is or conform for anybody. So regardless of where he is, public school, private school, he is still going to be Coach Tang. And I know that for a fact. He will still be praying. He will still have chapel services. He will still be that same Coach Tang that he was at Baylor. And that's how he'll run his program, because that's what he believes in. That's who he is. And he's not going to change that narrative or change that his belief for anywhere he is. And I know one thing that I don't know this for a fact, but I can bet my money, bet my last dollar, that he told the people at Kansas State that I will be leading the program based off my faith. And I know he did that, because that's just how he is, and that's just how strong he is, how strong his faith is. So I know that was part of the agreement, to where he had to be able to have that freedom to lead his players that way.
Interesting. Let's get to some hoops here. What helped Baylor take that next step? It's been a patient climb for the Baylor program, from complete rebuild up through the ranks of a really competitive conference to the very top of college basketball last year. What helped them get to that, over that hump?
I think honestly what got over that hump was that Coach Drew's ability to adapt to the game. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times coaches are so stuck in their ways and they're prideful. They don't want to change their system. They don't want to change the way they coach. But I think the best coaches are the ones who can adapt to the way the game is being played. Like, you look at back in the day, you were able to run two post players, have a high-low system. Now you can't really run an offense in college basketball through a big anymore and be successful, have the level of success that you would, that you want, like a national championship. You have to play through guards. You have to have guards who can create shots and create offense without coaches calling a play for them. And I think Coach Drew really learned that and really adapted to that my senior year at Baylor. We had Tristan Clark, and Tristan Clark was phenomenal. He was shooting like 70% from the field, probably like in the high 60s, but maybe 70% from the field. And we literally throw the ball into Tristan Clark to almost every single possession, because Coach Drews is such an analytics guy, and he goes with what works. Whatever has the highest percentage for us to score, that's what he wants us to do. So we end up losing Tristan Clark. Well, first off, we lost to Texas Southern at home. We lost to Stephen F. Austin at home. And then we lost Tristan Clark against Iowa State, which we actually ended up winning that game. But everybody wrote us off. Everybody thought that we weren't a good basketball team. They said we were the worst team to ever come through Baylor history. But we had a choice to make. So myself, Jake Lindsey, first off, we got the team together and say, hey, if you don't want to play, if you don't want to step out there and give you everything, then, like, leave. Like, simple as that. Because we're going to go out here and fight. We're going to finish the season out strong. We're gonna make the tournament. That's our goal. So we got the team together, and Coach Drew and Coach Tang got the staff together and was like, hey, same thing. If you don't believe in this team, if you don't think that we can do something special this year, then leave. We're going to come up with a strategy to create the best type of system to allow our players to have success. And what they did was they allowed our guards, myself, Makai Mason, Jared Butler, Devontae Bandu, they allowed us to just go out there and just play free and stop running, stop calling plays, stop trying to throw the ball into the paint. It's, hey, if you can go get a bucket, go get a bucket. I don't care. I'm not judging you what type of shot you take. If it's a bad shot, get back and go get it back on defense. Like, stop playing so robotic. And as you've seen, we had a great season. We ended up finishing third in the conference. We made it to the tournament, beat Syracuse first round, lost to Gonzaga second round. Could have beat them had we had a big, because Freddie Gillespie just wasn't ready yet. He wasn't the Freddie Gillespie that he is right now. So we ended up overachieving. And that right there is when I knew that Coach Drew and the staff were going to have a crazy amount of success, because they took what we had and got the most out of us. And they said, hey, This is what we're going to do. We're going to change our whole offense middle of the season, and we're going to allow you guys to just go play and just go have fun, go play. We're not going to call a bunch of sets. Just go out there and hoop. And that continued over that next year, because Maceo Teague and Davion Mitchell were red shirts. So we would practice against them all the time, and they would continue to get better and better, and they would be grinding all the time. But then you had those guys out. And now the system, Coach Drew has definitely perfected it, because he had all, like, the second half of the season, all summer. Now the system is perfected. So now these guys can go out there and execute it even better. I mean, Jared Butler is in his second year now. So now those guys go out there and they're just playing completely free and just doing whatever. They're sharing the ball, moving the ball, getting isolation buckets. So those guys, they were able to play completely free. And then that's when they were number one in the country. The COVID year happened. Then that next year is the year they won a championship. And then this year, you know, things kind of were up and down, injuries. But, yeah. I mean, those guys were able to just play free. And credit to Coach Drew, Coach Tang, for being able to adapt and be able to, you know, really adapt to the game. That's the biggest thing that a lot of coaches nowadays can't do.
I know Coach Tang is Coach Tang's kind of listed as the defensive specialist. Were you around when they switched from the Baylor zone to what they're doing now in man-to-man?
So kind of, but not really. So when I was there, we went a little bit less zone, because, you know, my first 3 years, it was all zone. We literally practiced the zone all the time. My senior year, we kind of got away from the zone and just played regular man-to-man defense, because we had some guys on the team that could really play, like, really defend. And then that next year, Davion was like, hey, I'm a great defender. I'm an elite defender. I don't want to play zone. I don't want to ever play zone. And Coach Drew listened and was like, cool. So they end up building that whole Texas Tech man-to-man defense that year after I left. And that was great. I mean, that was an elite defense. So it was we got away from the man, got away from the zone my senior year, but ended up building, like, the whole deny, force everything to the sideline defense the year after I left.
That was such a huge change. I mean, a coach that teaches zone, that's almost like religion. You know what I mean? And to give that up and find something better is an incredible evolution for coaches.
For sure.
What will Jerome Tang be like as the head coach? It's a lot easier to be the number two, play good cop, bad cop, however you want to set it up. But as the boss, he's already doing media. He's already doing videos. He's, you know, getting all those things on his plate that Scott Drew's had to handle through the years. How will he be as a head coach?
I think he'll be great. I mean, the one thing about him is he's ready for this moment. I mean, 19 years as an assistant coach, that's a long time. Like, a lot of times, you know, to be an assistant coach, you're probably there for maybe like 6-7 years, but 19 years to wait your turn and be patient. That man right there is ready for this opportunity. He's grinded his way up. he's seen so much as far as like the way Coach Drew handles a program. It's actually crazy because 4 or 5 weeks ago, when 3 weeks ago, when we went to go eat and watch the recruits, we were sitting at Papa Do's and we were just talking about like his other opportunities that he's had to go get other jobs and to take other places. And he was just like, man, like, I'm waiting until that perfect situation happens. He said, because King, I really could have left by now. Like, I could have been gone. There was a lot of opportunities that I had that I could have taken, but it just wasn't the right fit for me. So he said, I'm ready. He's like, I'm ready to be a head coach, but it's just me waiting on the opportunity. And neither one of us, nobody at the table, me, him, Coach Jacobs, Coach Brooks, we didn't know Kansas State was going to open up. Like, we didn't know Coach Rebel was going to get fired. But we're just sitting there talking like, hey, I'm ready. He kept telling me, like, I'm ready for this opportunity. I'm ready for this moment. He said, I think I'll be a great head coach because I've seen so much. I've seen the success that the Baylor program has had. And I know how to replicate that. And there's a few things I want to, like, change and twist, but I can replicate that, and I'm ready for this opportunity. And sure enough, sure and bold, like, he's the head coach of Kansas State now because he finally waited his turn and got the opportunity. So he's ready. I think he'll be a fantastic head coach. I know it comes with a lot of stuff he's never dealt with, but he's fully ready. He's fully ready.
This might be an unfair question because you didn't make the decision, but what do you think it was about Kansas State that his gut told him, the voice inside, the voice from above, however you want to define it, said, this is it. You feel trust this one.
Well, I think Kansas State is an attractive place to play. I mean, you're in the best, number one, you're in the best conference in college basketball. I think that his competitive nature, his competitive spirit wants to be that. He wants that smoke. He wants to be playing against Kansas. He wants to be playing against Baylor. He wants to be playing against Texas Tech. He wants that smoke. And I know him. I know he wants that. He wants to go up against the greats. He knows his conference so well. The fact he's been in it for 19 years, he's like, okay, Kansas State, I know how to beat Kansas. I know how to beat Texas Tech. I've had my own thoughts on this, but I mean, Coach Drew was the head guy, so I really could implement my full thoughts. So now I can actually like figure out how to beat these guys. So he wants that. I just think that right there, those two things, the Big 12, Kansas State, and also them having the resources. I mean, the resources as far as you're not going to a mid-major that doesn't have the same level of facilities, money, all of that. He wants the resources. He wants to be able to be backed by the administration. And his biggest thing that he told me when we were sitting down was, wherever I go, I want to turn this place into a powerhouse. Like, I don't want to go anywhere if they don't think that they can become a powerhouse. So he said, that's my number one thing I tell anybody, whether he's talking to a mid-major, a high major, he wants to turn the school into a powerhouse. And if they don't believe that they can do that, then he didn't want to be a part of it. So that's his biggest thing. And that right there is I think that's why he chose Kansas State.
Man, that speaks to a lot of K-Staters because there's a lot of banners that got some dust on them hanging in the rafters about how great Kansas State basketball used to be and how the glory's kind of faded. To hear that probably is going to sing to the hearts of a lot of K-State fans. King, I appreciate it. It's funny how things work. I remember that you were in Manhattan to do a game for ESPN, and I was just walking by and, you know, I had the little voice say, hey, stop and tell King that you think he does a really good job, and it's nice to have some young voices on the network, not realizing that I would need to have you on so quickly. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, no, it is crazy how the world works, yep. Man, how God works. But it's been a blessing. I love ESPN, man.
Yeah. One quick question. I am curious. How the hell did you pull off becoming an ESPN analyst just literally right after your career? It's really cool.
Man, that's a great question. So pretty much my senior year, I didn't know what I wanted to do in my life, but my senior year, they ended up telling me I did like the player interviews to introduce like Davion, Maceo, Jared, Matthew. We had so many new guys. and ended up doing the player interviews, and I didn't need a script. I did it off the top of my head, top of the dome, and DK, our SID, he said, wait a second, King, that was pretty impressive. Like, you're actually pretty good at this. And he was like, okay, cool. He was like, so I told him maybe I want to consider it. So he talked to Holly Rowe. Holly Rowe talked to me at Media Day. Holly Rowe interviewed me. She did like a 30-second fast break. And basically she asked me a bunch of rapid-fire questions I had to answer in 30 seconds. So she flipped the script and said, hey, King, I heard you wanted to be in the media. It's your turn to interview me and ask me 30 seconds of a question. 30-second rapid fire. So I did it off the top, like no prep, just did it. And she said, wow. She was like, you actually have a future in this. She was the first person to ever tell me that. And you know, Holly Rowe is Holly Rowe. So if somebody like that, that's like almost like Kevin Durant saying, hey, you can be a pro. That's the same level of comparison, because Holly Rowe is one of the GOATs in the industry. So when she told me that, I said, you know what? Fine. Like, I think I might be able to, take this seriously and actually have a career in this. So then she came down to the UConn-Baylor game. She asked for me. She sought me out and told me to get dressed and go shadow her for the night. So I got to shadow her. Fast forward, after my season, Clark Kellogg was at the Final Four. You know, Clark Kellogg, I just texted him because he's been one of my biggest mentors throughout this whole process. And I asked if I could shadow him during the Final Four. He said, yeah, come on, I'll get you a pass and everything. Man, that man had me on set with him. He had me like on the floor behind the scenes with him, Charles and Kenny and EJ. I got to talk to Ernie and like really chop it up with Ernie. And like to this day, me and Ernie are still cool. He'll text me randomly. But I got to shout out Clark Kellogg. I got to really just see what the ins and outs of, you know, the ESPN side and the CBS side. And I actually built a relationship with Boog Shiambi and Van Gundy and Jeff Van Gundy. I mean, Steve Van Gundy. And
there's so many Van Gundys.
And then I was injured when we played Iowa State, and Boog told me if I ever wanted to get in the media, because I told him what I wanted to do. He was like, when you're ready, call me. And it was time for me to go through my process, my draft process, and every single NBA team red flagged me because of my heart disease. And I didn't want to go overseas. I had to turn down overseas offers because I didn't want to leave my daughter, who just turned 4 2 weeks ago. So I called Boog Shiambi and I called Holly and said, hey, I think I'm ready to do this media thing. Like, can you help me out? They called David Seisler. David Seisler called me. He said, hey, send me your reel. I didn't have a reel, so I had to go create a reel and make something, put something together. Send it to them. They flew me out for an audition, and, you know, it's been history ever since. So I'm on my third year, and it's been a blessing, man.
I don't know if you know this, but you just offered a master class into young people how to embrace opportunity but also create opportunity and network and reach out. I run into this a lot. If young people reach out and say they want input for someone, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, yeah. We all get too shy and instead of just ask for help. And King, that was really cool. I'm glad I asked that. Well, it's good to talk to you. And everyone up here in Manhattan is just so fired up for Coach Tang. And we got a press conference on Thursday, and everyone will get their first dose of the purple Tang. And we'll see how it all works out. King, I appreciate it so much.
Man, I appreciate you having me.
I so appreciate King's time. What a good dude. What a great dude. What a voice. I wish I had that voice. King McClure, he's going to be around calling college basketball games for many years in the future, and I really appreciate his insight on Jerome Tang and Baylor basketball and why he'll be a good fit for Kansas State. And now I want to get Coach Tang involved into the football coaches' cook-offs that are taking place at Kansas State. I think this is a battle we all need to see. More coverage coming of the Jerome Tang hire. As I mentioned at the open, Coach Tang's initial press conference in purple will be Thursday up at K-State Athletics, I believe in the Shamrock Zone, and we will have complete coverage of that at GoPowerCat.com and so many other cool things coming along the road here as we introduce the K-State Nation to a man named Tang.
Thank you for listening to the Power Cat Podcast.
Make sure you're subscribing to our show at Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. PowerCat Podcast. All rights reserved. GoPowerCat.com.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.